Hey everyone, welcome to the Laying Foundations podcast. I am your co-host, Davis Hambrick. Joining alongside me today is Walker Lott. What's up, Walker?
What's up, Davis? How's your day going, man?
Good. That's take three. We had some enunciating problems there, but
yeah, we couldn't talk for a little bit.
We're growing. We're getting better. But dude, to answer your question, my day, it was kind of a boring day. It was a day of putting up fire insulation.
Davis doesn't have boring days.
It really was. It's monotonous, but it's a good day. I learned something new. I learned a different trade. I have a lot of respect for the guys who do that every day.
So man, I hate that. Fire stopping and fire anything to do with it. It's awful. I've done a fair share of fire caulking before, and it is the worst. So appreciate you guys. Thank you that you do it. I don't.
What about you?
You know, it's been a good day. It's kind of the same, putting out some fires. You know, our PM, one of the other PMs, has been out of the office. So I'm glad he's back today and kind of catching them up and getting to learn a little bit. And man, it's good. I'm excited to go eat dinner because we have not had dinner yet. But dude, we had an awesome guest. He was a blast to talk to. Really cool dude. You know, very knowledgeable. He started his own company. It's called Heave. His name is Alex Kraft. And so he was in the heavy equipment industry for quite some time, you know, over 16 years, I believe he said, and decided to do it on his own. And so pretty much he's made an app that makes it easy for people of all works in life and any company who wants to rent or buy heavy machinery or compacts to buy it. You know, instead of having to call a salesman and go there and ask him to get a quote, the salesman has to go and get a quote from someone else or it takes time. It's a lot. It's not easy. It doesn't flow. You can go to Heave, Heave. You can add what you need. You can say when you need it, the type that you need it, where you need it. And then you can get all kinds of different vendors in that area to quote right there from the app. And so you can have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 quotes in a second without having to call 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. You can do it in one app. In 10 seconds and just wait for those to come in. It is incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm excited for everyone who's listening to go look it up. Seriously, it's awesome. If you're in the heavy equipment and construction, you need anything, Heave, Heave. What you think of it?
Man, I thought it was cool. I mean, you just explained just how the user-friendly the app is. There's obviously he spent a lot of time honing that idea, but just at the heart of Alex was, like any entrepreneur, you find out what your customer wants and really what they need. And for so many people, we talk, it was funny. We started to talk about the field and what it's like for a salesman to go into the job site trailer and try to sell to a superintendent. Yeah. Like you realize how hard that is. Like you have to establish a relationship. And so he's not cutting out who the salesman is, but he's allowing it to be at a more user-friendly base to where it just connects them right with the user. And just the quick nature of it. Okay. It's not just a salesman now trying to sell. Okay, wait, now I gotta get a quote from my office and I gotta wait for that person to give the quote. It's just all this back and forth, cuts it out, and he puts it right where you need it. The other thing I loved about him was just the relationship side. He just grew and grew off relationships, and that just seems to be a lot of his career. Is he learned how to talk to people, he learned how to listen to people, he learned how to help people, and vice versa. And if that's one thing you say about Alex, I think that's awesome because he now has this podcast. It's on YouTube. It's called Heave. Just type that in, like Walker said. But he's interviewing other business owners when there's a fork in the road. What was that decision? What was that decision you made when it got to a point where if I make the wrong decision, it's not going to go well, but if I make the good one, it's going to go really great. And so just love what he's doing. Love his heart. Love what he has a passion for. I mean, he encouraged us in a way I never thought of, talking about our passion. Like, it's good to hear. It's really good to hear that he says, man, I can see a change. I can see a passion. I can see a desire in your hearts. And I just really love who y'all are. And man, that was just hearing those words itself. It meant the world to us.
Yeah. So guys, I can't wait for you to listen. Seriously, he was a blast to talk to. Please go check out his app. Go check out who he is. Without further ado, Alex Kraft.
Are you tired of being told to just be yourself at an interview? Do you leave interviews wondering if you nailed it? Well, in 2022, Laying Foundations is here for you. We'll be offering a career prep service to help you land the job. To start out, we'll book a free consultation call to get to know you, your interest, your personality, and what you feel least prepared when heading into an interview. After that, we'll update your resume to industry standards, walk you through your track to growth, hone in your elevator pitch, and show you how to stand out amongst other candidates. To learn more, go to our website and click on Career Connections at lang-foundations.com.
Alex, welcome to the show. We are excited to have you, excited to learn a little bit more about you and who you are and what do you do. So to start the show, like always, who are you? What do you do? And where are you from?
All right. Well, it's a great pleasure to be on. My name is Alex Kraft. I am the CEO and founder of a newer company in the construction equipment space called Heave, H-E-A-V-E. I started in the industry in 2004, mainly in the dealership experience in the world, selling and renting heavy equipment. That was my entry into the industry. I'm originally from Philadelphia. The Eagles just came down here to Tampa, where we're located, and laid a huge egg a couple weeks ago. So not great times in Philly, but Philly born and raised. Have lived in Florida since 2004, and this is the first time I started a company. Exciting times.
Yeah, that's a lot of growth in a year, so hasn't it?
It's unbelievable. It's it requires a tremendous amount of patience. That's one of the key ingredients, but it's a constant learning experience. Even when you have such what you think at the time is a fully formed idea, and that's probably one of the harder parts is, we believe and we're confident that we're solving a problem. And I had 16 years of experience already in the industry, and it's like, okay, so day two, it's just going to take off, right?
Right.
It requires so much learning, adapting, tweaking, experimenting, but it's incredibly fun and a great experience.
Yeah, it's like anything really in life. You start to realize, at least as you get older, I'm not that old, but neither are you, Alex, but you see that real change and things that value take time. And it just makes you appreciate the guys that do it day in and day out and already at that level. Cause you see, wow, okay. Like you said, day two hadn't hit yet. Day three, day four. Okay. It's just a consistent battle to get there.
It is. And it's what was really important for me was just consistently reading about other companies. I've never read so much in my life, to be honest. Yeah. And just reading about the history, the formation of, especially like we're a tech company, right? So I've read a lot about all the tech companies that everyone knows. And you think, and I don't know, maybe I'm different, but my thought was that they had this big idea that was the winner that transformed an industry. And then it was just, pushing forward from there. And in many cases, probably all cases, it wasn't that way. It was, a founder had this idea and it just didn't take. And, it's constant experimentation, tweaking, like I mentioned, and testing in the market. And so that kind of like reading those kind of stories helped me. It was encouraging. And it helped me also like develop a roadmap and understand certain things. Like it's so important to listen to the market and listen and observe from the actual users of your product, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what the users think and what That's they right. like, what they don't like. And so
That's right.
Just that became such a powerful tool, really.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think that's where a lot of people don't realize, you can do all these different exercises. You can start with your why, but until you find an audience base and know what are they looking for, until you know that, you're not going to really grow from there. But that's cool. So, Alex, let's get into, I know we mentioned, you're the CEO at Heave and the founder. You used to work at a place called Flagler. Tell me about how'd you get into this? I know you talked to me before about college and kind of route, but for our audience, how did you get into the heavy equipment side?
So the real short story is I had family that purchased a dealership. So it was, the fastest route in, right? So my wife's father bought, he was a very successful businessman. He's retired now. different industries. This was his first foray into construction. And he acquired what was Flagler, the Volvo heavy equipment dealership in the state of Florida at the time. And I wasn't married to my wife at the time, but he, I was a young guy out of college. I hadn't really figured out what I wanted to do. I was an athlete and I kind of wanted to play basketball going forward. You know, got hurt my senior year of school. So I kind of put a crimp in those plans. But he's like, you know, what about moving to Florida and getting into sales? And I was like, hey, why not? Miami, not a bad place to be. And I got into the company and started selling equipment.
That's really cool. I bet that's a whole different experience because, what was your college major? It wasn't go in with the full knowledge of I have to learn every single thing is brand new to me.
So if you asked like my friends at the time, what was my major, they would say basketball. And I wasn't the best student. I was a government major.
There you go.
I went to a liberal arts school, a school called Franklin and Marshall. It's a very small school about an hour west of Philadelphia. Great school, great education. Most of my friends that I'm still in touch with went to school with there. You know, just great people and a great experience.
I'm curious because you've been in the sales center. What makes a good heavy equipment salesman?
That's a good question. To me, what I've seen is responsiveness. It's determination. Now, there are certain things that have to be in place, right? You have to know the products well. And equipment is no different. All sales is the same. Right. A customer has to feel confident that you know what you're talking about, that you can be a resource, right? Problem solving. I mean, because that's really the biggest asset for equipment salespeople is, customers, when something goes wrong, they want to call you, even though you're not in service. But I understand that, right? Because you're the one who
built that relationship. Yeah.
Right. You're the one that sold them that $200,000 machine or $150,000 machine. And so many customers rely on you to help solve a problem. And that requires responsiveness, that requires initiative, that requires, all of those things, follow up. That's to me what I've seen, what separates the really successful one from the ones that aren't as successful.
Yeah. And I mean, I love that. And I think it kind of goes with the question we'll ask later on down the road. But, so you're doing all this heavy equipment sales and we can get more into that. First of all, how long did you do it?
I was in the field selling, I think, for 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the transition to starting to heave? What is heave and why did you decide to do it?
So I worked all different jobs within Flagler. Yeah, I was in the field selling, which I was really thankful for that opportunity. I wasn't a great salesperson because it was my first exposure to equipment. So I had to learn equipment and everything. But what it did for me was, I'm a big believer in this. People who are customer facing have a much different perspective. And you can see that, talking to others, whether they be work for different roles in a dealership or an OEM, like customer facing, you learn, you're in the fire. And that was a very valuable experience for me. Then I worked in marketing. I worked in parts and service at different points in time. And I was a chief operating officer. So to your question of how did I start Heed? So we sold the dealership to another Volvo dealer. And, I'm young, I'm 41 years old, and I'm trying to decide what I want to do. And, from the day that I started selling in 2004 until February 2020, when the sale happened, there really had never been any change or improvement in the customer experience for renting or buying equipment. And it's still, you know, I think you work for Haskell and Davis works for, I think, Brassfield Glory, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So it kind of blows me away that even today, you know, if I'm at Haskell, I'm on a job site, and I don't know what type of equipment you run, but I need to rent a wheel loader. I got to pick up the phone or, you know, email. I got to call the Cat guy or the John Deere guy or whoever it is. And to me, it seemed kind of crazy. And so what Heave is very simple. We connect sellers and customers for equipment quotes. So if you're an equipment salesperson, you work for a dealer, you create an account on our platform, you get a text alert every time a customer asks for a quote on either a rental or a purchase in your area. Hmm. And you can quote that customer immediately on your phone within 30 seconds. Hmm. And if you're a customer, I need to rent a machine. A machine went down on my job site, let's say. A loader went down. I go to Heave and I answer a couple of questions. I need a Cat 938 size machine. And I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, submit. It now goes to all of the network within our platform. And now you don't have to call anybody. And you're going to get a text alert, you know, with, oh, here's five quotes for you. And then you can decide what you want to do from there. Right. So we're an aggregator at the end of the day, but doing it in a unique way in an industry that I saw this opportunity. Because it takes too long. And I found from my experience working at the dealership, you know, getting further down in the details, you know, typically if you're talking to a customer and they ask for something, you would see your salesman say, all right, let me get back to you. Mm. And then they have to call into the office. And yeah. Do they always get the person in the office who can help them?
Right.
Not really. And so everything took too long. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way, right? And so that what formed that experience, both from being a salesperson and also being a manager and having to manage a sales team and try to, I mean, we were Volvo, so we weren't Caterpillar, trying to figure out ways to maybe take some of that little share from Cat. I mean, I had to think differently.
Right. I think that's good, Alex. I mean, just like any good entrepreneur, they find a problem in the market and then they try to solve it. That's what entrepreneurs do. And like you said, yep, you're going to take this time from, I don't know, X amount of time and bring it down to Z. And I can just think about, I'm not an estimator, so I don't have a lot of experience. You know that, but I can just imagine how easy that would be to do. Okay, this is the type of equipment we need. Or I'm the site work contractor and I don't have the equipment yet. This is what I got to do. And literally 30 seconds in a minute, I already got a quote. Like that to me, that's revolutionary to me, in my opinion. But
that's incredible.
Yeah. I'm not in that type of world. So I like the idea, but tell us more about what Heave does. You kind of laid out the framework, the basics, but go a little more in depth about what you're excited about. I know you have a passion for it and you have a heart for us, but tell us what you're really excited about in this next year coming up.
Well, I'm excited about, so I think let's rewind a little bit. So I start the company, you know, I have this idea, we develop a product, and like most things, it's slow to get off the ground. And you're sitting there and you're like, why isn't this taking off? This is a good idea, you know, why? And, you know, going back to reading and researching and, mm-hmm. you know, so we paid attention. We were constantly talking to salespeople. Hey, what's difficult here? And like one of the things that most of our users said, like, hey, I only want to see the deals that are in my territory. I'm like, okay, it makes sense. Like I thought we were being kind of coy by opening it up to everybody, you know? And so if I'm a salesperson, I go on the Heave and I see all these opportunities. But people were annoyed because, oh, well, that deal's in Texas and that deal's in Ohio. But I only service Jacksonville or whatever it is.
Right.
And so we started making those changes and improvements to the product. And then the usage started going up and up, and customers getting quotes much faster because salespeople in those areas were getting them right away. And so what I'm most excited for is to continue building on the improvements that we made and to really see this thing take off, because we've been patient and we've listened. We've now had over 220 million of quotes pushed through the platform in just 8 months.
That's awesome. That's unbelievable.
So what we're excited about is that we've kind of figured it out, and the users have responded and they see the value to it. Because it wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
So going along, you know, going off of that, how do you go straight to the salesman for these different Caterpillar companies, or not Caterpillar, different heavy equipment companies, or do you go straight to the consumer? You know, kind of how do you set that up, and what's the process of finding someone and profiting off of it, but also being able to connect everyone at the same time?
So that's the difficulty in the what are called marketplace businesses, because you really have two sides and two customers. So over here on the demand side, yes, we have to market and find customers. So we're actively trying to market and find customers that see Heave as a fit, because it's not for everybody, right? And then over here, yeah, we talk to salespeople, we talk to dealer sales managers, we talk to OEMs, we talk to everyone, because, you know, one way to get 30 users real fast is to get a VP of sales for an equipment dealer to sign up and get put all the salesmen on. You know, even better than that would be if an OEM saw value where, this could really help my dealers in a certain region participate on more deals and sell more of our products. So, hey, how about we put these 12 dealers and these 100 salespeople on? So there's value in talking to everyone. But we spend more of our time talking to salespeople because that's who it impacts the most, you know, and we've said this for a long time. That's our customer, because salespeople are the ones out every day in front of customers. And they're the ones who, you know, don't really get paid unless they sell and rent every month. I mean, they need that commission. That's the base of their compensation.
Yeah. And Alex, it's like whenever we kind of talked before, you said one of the things about what we're doing that you didn't know about is just the mass scale of what the construction process is. You know, you're on the equipment side and helping salesmen get the equipment out, but, you know, there's this whole world you don't see. And so, I mean, beforehand, Walker, tell me if I'm wrong, but did you ever think about talking to a vendor about construction?
Yeah. I mean, it's everything's, you realize everything's connected, you know,
right. And this is just another step to that process of, you know, if you want to be great at construction, if you want to learn the business, you have to really want to consume it all. But Alex, you know, that's an amazing feat. I know I mentioned earlier, but man, 220 million quotes. That is awesome, dude. I'm sure that's a number that, man, I had no clue. That speaks to your hard work and the idea of actually wanting to know the user.
Yeah, it's mostly compact right now, which makes that number kind of stick out even more. You know, it's compact equipment, you know, smaller dollar volume. But that's, you know, that was one of the important lessons that we learned too, is who are our users? And so initially for a platform like this, we realized that our core customer were those that ran small equipment because they didn't really have existing relationships with dealers. And so that made sense to me, right? And similar fashion for dealer salespeople, it's really hard to find all of those compact buyers and renters. You know, there's smaller owner operator companies that, you know, don't maybe have an office address to stop by. So that was the value that our users found right away, is like, you know, this helps me quote a bunch of, you know, compact track loader and mini excavator deals that I would never even know about. And so that was an important thing for us. The other piece was for salespeople was understanding, you know, who the best users were. And they were, you know, salespeople probably age 35 and younger, who were more likely to embrace this. You know, when you're younger and you get a job with a dealer and they say, hey, all right, what you're going to do is you're going to drive from job site to job site, try to talk to people, and then you're going to go try to drive to an office, no appointments. I think younger people are like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And initially, I was just talking to people that I knew in the industry. And I'm like, wait a minute, why do I continue talking to a guy who's been doing this for 20 years, doing, you know, the cold calling thing, and trying to convince him? Like, that's not the smartest thing. Like, he's successful doing it the way he's doing it. But our tool might appeal more to that younger user. And so, like, those kind of things, they sound very simple. And maybe I'm not the smartest guy, but it took me a little while to learn that and like understand who our users are, and then just go talk to them and bring them onto them.
I wouldn't say you're not the smartest guy. I think you've done pretty well of figuring all this out. But you know, laying foundations for us, it's one thing is about relationships, and that's the kind of common theme that I keep on hearing here when we're talking with you. You know, so I mean, honestly, go into a little bit about that, but really, you know, how much do you rely on relationships on a daily basis? How have you found is the best way to build relationships with people? And there's a lot of people that are coming into the industry that don't have any contacts, they don't have any connections, and they don't know how to network. They don't know how to reach out to someone. They don't know how to have a conversation through laying foundations and this podcast. That's something that we're very blessed that we get to do, is reach out and talk to and network with people like you and grow and learn in our knowledge. But not everyone has this platform, you know, so they're kind of doing it on their own. But what is the way that you found for your company and personally that you get to go out and meet new people like that?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, obviously relationships drive everything, but I think relationships are different based on the context and the interaction. Like, if you're a vendor, relationships are formed a certain way. If you're talking about relationships within your own company, I think those are formed in another way. If you're asked, I do, networking is incredibly key for success. And one of the things that I find really impressive about what you guys are doing, and why I kind of sought Davis out in the beginning, was you're younger guys. You clearly have a passion for the business. And I don't think passion is talked enough about in terms of a key for success. Because it's impressive, like, because I think everybody responds to it, you know, no matter how old you are, young you are. Like, if you're an older, crusty guy, you sort of gravitate towards the young guys who show that they really give a damn. You know, and it's very impressive for you guys to put yourself out there like you did. And you're building a network. But I think part of why you've been successful with all of these guests and building is because of the passion that you have for the industry. That brings people in.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, today is funny, Alex Walker. I was talking to one of my superintendents. He goes, man, you just love construction. I was like, you're right, I do. But a deep burning desire in my heart is I want to leave it a better way than I found it. I do not want people to have to still, let's be honest. There's good parts of our industry, there's bad parts of industry. And I think the three on the call are trying to make it the better part. But there's people that are fine with just going through it. And how do we get them out of knowing, okay, this isn't the only way to do it. There's multiple ways to skin a cat, and we're just going to do it day in and day out and learn how to get better. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Alex, this was cool. You talking about the user base of the small equipment. I don't know if you know much about TikTok. I don't know much about it either, but man, you'd be amazed about how I found this one guy that followed Aaron Witt, and that's the Build Witt. And since he followed him, he decided to buy, you know, a skid steer. Well, then after that, he's got a skid steer and a dozer. Now he's got a dump truck. Now he's got a backhoe. It's just like TikTok allowed him to see what Aaron Witt was doing and the whole heavy equipment side. And so it challenged him to go, why can't I do it at this young age? And so I love how you found this for you know, our age, 35 and younger.
Yeah, I've been paying attention to Aaron Witt as well. He's very impressive. But I don't know much about TikTok. My daughters use it too much. Yeah. It kind of drives me crazy, but I can't say that I know too much about it.
Yeah. I mean, me and Walker are still trying to crack that code for sure. Walker says, no, I don't want to be a part of it, but we got,
what made you so passionate about construction, the two of you? Like,
we've never been asked that before. That's a good question.
That's a good one. I started out in middle school and high school going on mission trips and serving people. And so part of that was just putting a roof on someone's house or putting studs up to build a garage or doing yard work for people that couldn't do it. And so my heart is, I like to serve. And people think, I don't know, people may not think too highly of people that serve, but I just love being able to help someone that can't do something for themselves, or even if they can do it, I love just being there for them and being that person. But construction, man, it's just this industry built on people that, out in the field, for me at least, I have never met more people that are just great people that love each other, that day in and day out, they're putting their lives on the line in a way with the safety of what we're going through. But man, I just get so passionate about these guys that have been doing it for so long, that worn their body out, you know, work extreme amount of hours, sacrifice so much in their families, travel away from them. And I want to do something in the industry for those guys, for them to be able to go home more or be whole again and not be the person that has experienced just the industry so much. I don't know. I didn't really answer your question there, but man, I'm so passionate about people. I think that's what it is. You know, I have a unique desire to want to know people and what they generally value. I care more about what Alex Kraft thinks about his world than I do about my own world. And that's just, I think that's something special about me.
Yeah. And, you know, mine kind of lines up with Dave. Is, I mean, honestly, it started off as a kid. I never thought of being in construction, but, you know, my dad and I always would build things when I was younger, and we'd always, right. That's the time that we got to spend together. And that's, I looked forward to it the most. We'd always do work outside. We always got to build things. And that started morphing into starting doing things at home, doing things for people. You know, our church I go to does a serve day every single year, and throughout the year they do. And I just started realizing like how much construction has an impact on people's lives, because, you know, it's expensive, and the work that you do is expensive. So if someone owns a home and they can't afford to fix a roof, or you can't do something like that, but it, you know, if you can get a group of people to come in and do that and know how to do it and build something up for someone and fix something, like, that changes their life completely, because they went from having a leaky roof that you can't live in anymore to having a solid home. And it's like, you know, it's the same thing that Dave was saying. It's about the people in it. You know, every single construction site I've been on are incredible people. And unfortunately, I've been on two different projects where one superintendent on each project committed suicide. You know, so that's another thing. There's some parts of construction that are so incredibly dark because people don't want to talk about anything, and they don't want to have relationships beyond work. They don't want to have deep relationships. It's all very surface level, and it's hard to get deep. I found that struggle at work. There's certain times you can do that, and being in the field, it's a little bit easier than being in the office sometimes, but you know, you want to get to know these people and say, hey, like, if you need anything, I'm there. And that's, it's a lot of times, if you just have an office job that you're not in construction and whatever, it's a lot more difficult because it becomes more like a fraternity of a sorts. You know, everyone knows what you're going through. Everyone knows what you're doing. And there's just so many opportunities and ways within construction that you can change someone's life, be it through trades, through letting someone else know about a different opportunity, through giving someone an encouraging word that might help them in their personal life down the road. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but you know, I guess those are just a few reasons for Davis and I.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast today. We cannot tell you how thankful we are for every single one of our listeners, and we genuinely want to know and learn about you a little bit more. So if you're interested in maybe sending us a question or just saying hey, or wanted to talk to us a little bit, please reach out to us at contact@laying-foundations.com. If you didn't hear that, didn't understand it, you can go in our show notes and just click on the link and write us an email. Please, we would absolutely love to hear from you. Seriously, me and Davis get excited every single time we get an email from one of our listeners. It genuinely makes our day. But if you want to find out a little bit more about us via social media, Davis is going to tell you a little bit how to do that.
Yeah, thanks, Walker. Guys, like Walker said, reach out to us any way you can. We appreciate feedback, whether you like it or not. You know, it helps us grow in any way. We're welcome. We're here to listen. And whatever you guys tell us, we're going to try to implement that into our strategy. But how to get in contact with us on social media. We have a LinkedIn account called the Laying Foundations Podcast. We have Walker Lott's LinkedIn profile. We have Davis Hambrick LinkedIn profile. We have a TikTok page called Laying.Foundations. We have an Instagram page, Laying Foundations. And then, you know, that's where we're at. These are all down in the show notes. But guys, we just want to put this out there, and however you want to get in contact with us, we're imploring you, please just reach out to us. We'll respond. We'll get back to you. And we want to hear from you. That you're the reason, one of the reasons why we're doing this. We want to hear from you. We want to hear feedback. How can we grow and how can we get better? Because like we said before, receiving accountability and receiving feedback is one of our core values. And that defines Walker and I at our core. We want to hear your feedback. And we want to be held accountable.